The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and salutations to all out there tuning in to this latest edition of the TWBC Podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have you on board. Especially glad that you're going to get to hear from one of a dying breed of skiers, it would seem. The American overall skier. While there are some competitors around the world that continue to plow their trade in the overall competition, the likes of Joel Poland and Dorian Llewellyn spring to mind, the United States playing a little bit catch-up these days, but one of their best skiers in that field of expertise in tournament water skiing, we get to talk to right now. Say hello to Blaze Grubbs. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Tony. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. So off-season for you right now, you're kicking your feet up a little bit, or are you hard at work doing training stuff for the season to come ahead?
Yeah, I just got off the water, actually. It's obviously a little bit colder, but been having some nice days, so we're trying to ski a lot and playing a lot of basketball now, actually, as well.
Okay, that's obviously very, very good for the cardiovascular and everything, because, I mean, I know of some skiers back in the day that Freddy Krueger and Ben Favreau and all those skiers, you know, used to go one-on-one on the basketball court at Bennett's. But I mean, you can imagine how competitive that is. But I mean, who do you have to compete with in terms of doing your quote unquote basketball training for the season to come?
Yeah, so I'm playing for my school, but it's pretty competitive. It's cool to see both sides. You know, you water ski and then you go to play basketball. It's a very team sport. So usually it's just by myself at home, but then obviously we have the games with the school. So it's a lot of fun.
Games and school. Okay. That would suggest that you're still in high school. Are you a senior?
Yeah, senior year.
Senior year at high school. And where's your high school?
It's in Carmichael, California. So like 15 minutes from our lake here.
Okie dokie. So I mean, does your high school know what kind of athletic talent they have in their hands, courtesy of you on a world championship basis?
I don't know if they like fully understand water skiing. They know I do it. They ask me how my race is a lot, so it's kind of funny to hear that. But they definitely do know I ski, and they always wonder why I'm gone from school so much.
All right, let's take it back a little bit, because this is the first time that a lot of people have actually ever heard of Blaze Grubbs. I mean, they've seen the tournament results, they've watched the webcast and everything, but they've yet to get an opportunity to actually hear you talking about your experiences and stuff. So, first things first, how did you ever get into this sport of tournament water skiing? I mean, what kind of guided you in that field of sports?
Yeah, so I was definitely born into the sport. We grew up in Corvallis, Oregon, which is like 2 hours south of Portland. My grandfather was a skier. My great-grandfather was a skier. So, you know, I've always just been around the sport. We skied at a lake called Sabrina Lake. That's where I got up on my first ski. Very cold there, you know, in the winter. So we definitely didn't take it as seriously. But we skied a lot there. And then when I was around 8 years old, we moved down south to Sacramento area, found a home at Bell Aqua, and we've been skiing there ever since.
Excellent stuff. And you continue to ski there, and we'll get into a little bit of some other stuff that you do at Bell Aqua. And you train at a lot of other places as well, I noticed. I think you have a place over in Santa Rosa Beach, is that right?
Last year we purchased a house there on Lake Two, and it's incredible. Adam and Corey, they're the greatest Picos family, and the lakes are just awesome to ski at.
All right then. So, obviously you got up on skis, got up on the ski and what have you, and your parents coached you up to a certain point. But then at that certain point, they gotta relinquish the reins a little bit and hand you off to someone who would probably take you the rest of the way. So far as coaching is concerned, who was in charge of that, and who did you aspire to be or continue to aspire to be going forwards from that point?
Yeah, I grew up always watching, like the big skiers. Terry Winner has probably been like my role model since day one, of course, besides my dad. My dad's been there every step of the way, as well as my grandpa and mom. But yeah, Terry Winner, he taught me truly how to ski. I remember being like a baby sitting, not, don't, I don't remember being a baby, but like as a little kid, in the boat watching him ski, just absolutely rip 41 off. And I'm like, wow, I want to be like that someday. So yeah, Terry Winner, my dad, and then, a lot of other coaches have definitely helped me get here.
Absolutely. I do actually see, thinking about it, I mean, Terry Winter's slalom style and yours, I mean, almost nothing to differentiate between you two so far as your technique on the water and how you keep your elbow close to your body as you go into your edge change, that kind of thing, so
Thank you.
I
Appreciate that. I want to be like him, so
Oh, absolutely. But
great
I
to
mean,
hear.
but and I mean, certainly a skier to aspire to be, because not a lot of people notice with Terry Winter, but he's a halfway decent jumper as well. And I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him trick, if we're being honest. But
Yeah, he's a good tricker too. I've seen him bust out the trick ski, do some flips. I'm like, whoa, where did this come from?
There you go. There's some natural talent all over there so far as Terry Winter is concerned. So, when did you ski your first nationals, by the way?
First nationals. That was probably, I know it was in Okeechobee. I think it was 2013. That sounds right.
Yeah, because that sounds like just almost yesterday to like a guy like me, I mean, this is
Right.
2022. And any time anyone says that their first nationals or something like that is like beyond the year 2000, has said, that's just still too young. But
Yeah,
now,
funny.
but now, how old are you now? I mean, you've just gotten out of juniors, which means you must be like in aged 18, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 18 now, just turned 18.
Just turned 18, and as a matter of fact, a big event happened for you within the last few days when we turned 18, and I will te and I'm teasing that right now because we'll mention that a little bit later. But you skied your first nationals, Oakleigh Park, at just beyond the turn of the millennium. Do you remember how you did in those nationals at all? Were you at all nervous or that kind of thing? Because obviously, skiing the regional event is one thing over on the West Coast, but then traveling 3,000 miles across country to skiing your first nationals, that must have been a bit daunting for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was cool, honestly, just seeing all the lakes lined up, the good weather. We had all our friends there. So I wouldn't say I was super nervous, but it was definitely an experience that I just haven't had before. So it was a good eye opener. And I don't remember exactly how I did, but I definitely wasn't jumping at that age. It was just, slalom and trick.
Of course, in boys one, that's always the case. I mean, back in those days, I mean, it's boys one,
Right,
boys
right.
two, boys three. Now it's like five sections of juniors right now to cater to every 2 years from about, I don't know where it starts age wise, but anyway, that's beside the point. So beyond the nationals, obviously you had a talent for tournament water skiing. Now, do you remember the first time or one of the first times that you represented your country in junior competitions? Because I don't think it was the Junior Worlds. I don't think not in your early stages. Probably one of those Can-Am tournaments, right?
Yeah, so I think it was Pan Ams. I was 13 and we were in Guadalajara, Mexico at Lake Chapala. And then, or it was Can Ams in Canada, I forget, but I think it was Mexico first.
Okay, so and that's obviously been a frequent stomping ground for you, at least by the way of checking your Facebook profile anyway, because one of you
Yeah, a couple months we were there. It was fun.
Yeah, and it's just one of those very, very, very cool places to go to, especially within Chapala Town. Been there myself
Right.
for the Pan American championships were for one season. So what did it feel like actually putting on that USA team tracksuit, represent your country for the first time and be a part of that setup going forward?
That was incredible. I'm so used to like just going out and skiing, and then if I'm, bummed or happy with it, I can kind of like be okay with it. But I'm like, hey, I'm representing a team now. I have people behind me, and it was super, super cool moment, and I'll definitely remember it for a while.
Okie dokie. So moving forward beyond that, you got your taste of international competition, and let's try and fast forward that. Let's try and bring it together a little bit. You've skied in the US Junior Open a few times now, and let's rewind now to last season, 2021. The Junior Worlds, which was supposed to happen the year before, but it's bit but but got brought to 2021. How did you feel that tournament went for you? Because I mean, you were toe to tone with Martin Labra pretty much all the way through to the end. So what was your assessment of that Junior Worlds over in Santa Rosa Beach?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. First of all, just all our friends there. I try to keep it super light when I go into a set, no matter where it is, how it is. It was cool kind of skiing in my backyard as well. The goal was definitely to win overall. I actually had that goal a year before, so I was pretty bummed, coming up short of that, but also really, really proud at the same time. I didn't crash and trick, jumped pretty well, and then tied for first in slalom and went into a runoff. So I thought that was really cool. Silver at Worlds and Slalom when I'm a three eventer, I was honestly really proud of myself. Definitely didn't see that coming either.
Yeah, I don't think an awful lot of people saw that slalom runoff materialize either. You and Frederica, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Me and Fed, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, I mean, what I mean, kind of give us a sense of what that was like on the starting dock. I mean, you've gotten through your set. You tied. Frederica, I believe he was one of the last off the dock. He tied your score, I think, or I think it might have been the other way around, but not important. But I mean. To me, to one of the things that kind of really struck me about the Junior Worlds and the Colombians in particular is their real happy-go-lucky attitude. And I don't know. I mean, it's great. It's great for them because they always ski nice and loose, and they're able to perform, right along as they do in practice. But isn't something that like that a little off-putting for those teams and maybe a skier like yourself that prefers the more traditional way of preparing before you hit the water?
Yeah, no, for sure. Fed's a good friend. Same with Luisa, and I love, messing around with them before I ski. But yeah, a couple minutes before my ride, I definitely get focused, get in the zone, and that runoff, I was pretty stressed for it. But I felt really good at the same time. So it was 100% attack mode, and yeah, I came up short, but it was a really cool experience.
Always a good experience to ski in those events. And I mean, I don't know whether you know this, but I actually skied in the very first World Junior Championships,
Really?
all the
That's
all
awesome.
the all the way back in the late 80s. It wasn't that fun, trust me. I mean, not as far as I recall. I mean, I tricked horribly. I didn't fell first trick both passes. I think I fell second pass on slalom and. Oh, I'm a jumping, don't even ask. But anyway, it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I work hard to get to those championships, and it just didn't go well for me. But for you on the other hand, it just looks all so incredibly easy. But
Oh, thank you.
but. Under the surface, I mean, what's going on there? I mean, because you alluded to the fact that you needed to focus before you go out, but is the outside masking what's truly going on the inside?
Yeah, no, I try to keep it loose, as I said, keep it fun, and I worked really, really hard this past season, and honestly, most of my ski career, honest for that moment. So I try to just be like, hey, you know, whatever happens, happens. I've worked hard. I feel honestly more prepared than anyone here, and I really just try to keep that mentality, and kind of just thankful for the opportunity to ski, kind of in my backyard, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now, obviously, before the Junior Worlds, almost immediately before the Junior Worlds was the U.S. Nationals. So obviously, you kind of jump from one frying pan and into the fire, so to speak. As soon as you get done with the junior event, you're hopping on a flight straight to Santa Rosa Beach. So, I mean, how did you manage to cope with that time crunch situation?
Yeah, no, for sure. It was probably the longest year ever. It started with the LCQs, Masters, Regionals, then yeah, as you said, Nationals. I had taken a really, really bad jump crash actually the week before Nationals. So like in my head, I was really nervous. I showed up. I hadn't really even taken a real jump since at Nationals, and super windy, kind of crazy. But yeah, slalom went well. I slalomed really good against my buddy Carter Reese. I got second place. He skied incredible as well. I tricked okay. I was happy to win that, and then jump, man, I was probably the most nervous I've ever been for a ride, just because I didn't want to crash because I felt that the week before, and luckily I got a good jump and I ended up getting the title.
Yeah, you weren't the only one that crashed there at the Nationals. I think you probably know the person to who I'm referring to.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy watching that before.
Will Blair coming off the wakes and just getting pulled up to the side curtain, and then just ooh, one of
Yeah,
the
what a guy. He's
yeah.
awesome, though.
I think he actually tried to take a third jump, and that one didn't actually work out too well for him. But hopefully, he's recovered since then, and we look forward to seeing him next season. But
Most definitely.
yeah, but yeah, I mean, you've gotten through that, the Junior Worlds, and then almost immediately afterwards were the U21 Worlds, which is a different kettle of fish because you're obviously this is going to be pretty much the taste of what you're going to be expecting, typically for the next maybe 2 to 3, maybe 4 years, because I think you've got at least two more U21 Worlds of eligibility. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was my first year U21, so I was really happy to be on the team, you know, representing the US again, and yeah, back to back weeks. It was pretty wild.
All right then. Oh yeah. Almost completely forgot about the fact you mentioned that you crashed it, that you took a pretty big spill, and I think you said it was in the Nationals. That was your only crash of note all season long. So obviously that must have been weighing on your mind going into these championships, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It was, you know, I've had little spills jumping out the back, but this was definitely the first like wake up call. Like my face hit the ramp before my skis. I had my buddies in the boat and they were freaking out. I was freaking out, but I walked away from it. Had flight school right after. Went to flight school. And I told the guy, I'm like, hey, I don't feel good, but let's keep going. And then actually ended up skiing that same day. So, but very sore the next day. Next day could not move anything. But week later we were jumping again.
All right, then continuing along, and I'm sure one or two folks listening to this said, "Did he say flight school?" Yeah, absolutely right. He said flight school. Tell us a little bit about that, because I mean, you've been spending the last few years prepping not only to get your private pilot's license, but also to get the next step up, which is the instrument rating, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so when COVID hit, I had a lot more time on my hands with school online. I was still skiing a ton, but I was like, hey, I've always liked flying. This is a good opportunity maybe to get into that. Found a local flight school and kind of fell in love with it, and then got my license January of 2021, and then yeah, just got instrument rated a couple months ago now.
Instrument rated, and that means that you can fly pretty much in all types of weather, huh?
Yeah, quite a bit of weather. We still try to avoid, you know, most of it. But yeah, through the clouds, low visibility, all that. It's a piece of cake with this rating for sure.
Yeah, that must be an experience of flying over in the Golden State, because I mean, obviously with the wildfires and stuff, I mean when the forests go off, and when the smoke billows up, I mean it's I mean, it clouds up the sky quite considerably, and it can be seen for miles and miles. I mean, you've obviously had that experience, right?
Yeah, I have actually. We were flying my grandpa up to Aurora, Oregon, and I had my corporate pilot buddy with me. He was in the left seat. He was pilot in command, and we were going right through the smoke from these fires. And it was 4 o'clock, and it was completely pitch black, and it was really scary, to be honest, as like a student pilot watching this. And he's like, "Hey, we're fine," but we had dust, well, not dust, but pieces of like flames, like in the cabin.
What?
And yeah, it was pretty wild, but landed safely. It was totally fine. And yeah, ash was in the cabin from the fire, and yeah, it was pretty crazy experience.
They grounded the entire continent in Europe several years ago because Iceland blew, one of Iceland's volcanoes blew up with all of that ash, And so you're basically telling me that
Yeah.
you've been up in conditions that almost mirrored those to a certain extent.
I guess so. Yeah, I've heard those volcanoes are pretty bad for planes, but yeah, we got through it just fine.
Yeah, I mean that's probably the main advantage of flying a prop compared to a jet, I guess. But anyway,
Yeah, I guess so.
all right then. So we'll touch back a little bit on the whole flight school in just a moment, because I mean, you sound like someone that just is a real go-getter. I mean, you're skiing, you're flying, you're in school, you're a senior. Your GPA is pretty high, I take it. I mean, in order to do flight school, I mean, you have to be pretty smart up top, I guess.
Try my best. I don't
All right, so you've gotten through all of that, and now, I mean, you've gotten through the Junior Worlds, you've gotten through U21s, and now and then you had to wait for your first appearance in the Elite World Championships because you got a chance to ski in that too because of the wild cards of meant that skiers that wouldn't ordinarily be able to ski had a chance to ski in this one, right?
Yeah, no, that's correct. I was super happy to go to Junior Worlds, but it was cool to go to all three worlds in the same year within a couple months. It was an incredible experience.
What was that experience like for you walking with the likes of Regina Jaquess and Brooke Baldwin and all of those cats, Elizabeth Montavon and though or walking their way towards the opening ceremony in downtown Groveland. That must have been surreal to you, based upon your experiences prior to that.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. In the parade, I was next to Erica, Nate Smith. So it was cool, like just being around incredible skiers. I remember Steve Garcia in practice saying, "Hey, you're gonna jump after Freddie and Scott." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." And it was just cool, going up. I know Freddie, I know Scott, and I feel like we're really cool. But it was just, always an honor to ski with them, around them, and they're giving me some advice. And I just thought it was a really cool jump set for sure.
I bet it was. I mean, you must have been in hog heaven, I mean, with those guys ahead of you jumping, I mean, they're probably closer to retiring than you, obviously. But I mean, what were your main takeaways from that event? Because of it, I mean, obviously you still skied in the U17 your last year of eligibility. You still got plenty more in U21s, so a lot to go for there. But this being your world championship, was it kind of like a taster, or did you have any real realistic expectations of taking something away, tangible from these championships?
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't really nervous for it. Going into the season at the beginning, my goal was to, win Masters, which I was able to do, and then Worlds. I wasn't able to do that, but I was honestly like, this is just bonus to be able to ski with great people in Florida. And yeah, I was nervous, but I definitely wasn't as nervous as, say, the U17 finals for the gold, stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, and almost yeah, and completely brushed over the fact that you went gotten through Masters. How was that deal at Callaway Gardens at the beginning of the season? Because almost everyone that I know of in the pro skiing ranks tends to focus on that particular tournament right at the beginning of the season to really peak, was that the same deal for you as well?
Yeah, for sure. It was, pretty stressful with all the LCQs going on, but I was able to, get my spot in the overall division, so all three, and I was really happy. My goal was just to get into the tournament, so I was really, really happy and honestly shocked that I got the overall title, and definitely the best moment of my skiing career yet.
Well, very good, and obviously big ups and congratulations to you
Thank
on
you, thank
that.
you.
So, senior in high school, obviously you're slammed with the books and stuff like that. You just gotten your instrument rating. What was it like a couple of days ago now? I guess.
It was a couple of months ago
Oh, a
in
couple of months.
November. Yeah. So,
Okay,
yeah,
so.
that was fun.
All right, so what's on the immediate horizon? Is there anything you want to highlight going forwards? I mean, obviously you're training for next season, but what else does Blaze Grubbs fills his time with?
Yeah, school, hanging out with friends, I think is really obviously important. Finding a balance between skiing and something else. Luckily, basketball is that for me. So it's been a lot of fun to be in a different competitive sport, but still skiing a ton. Definitely a lot of big goals for next year as well. Skiing towards that, but definitely not as much pressure next year. Just not with all the big tournaments. So I can kind of just go out there and send big trick runs, go for it all in slalom, and try to make my jumping better without all the pressure on my shoulders, I'd say.
Yeah, and try and a little less crashing. Although we do have to say
Yeah.
that you've been consistently avoiding those, save for that one at nationals this past season. Obviously, we would be remiss if we didn't mention your main supporting crew, which involves your parents. I mean, without their help and support, and a whole number of different levels, you couldn't really hope to achieve what you've achieved so far, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. They've done honestly everything for me, gotten me where I am, and super, super supportive. So I'm really, really thankful for that. My dad, he skis honestly more than me when it comes to slalom. So it's cool being able to ski with him almost every day.
Do you have any like head-to-head battles between him just for practice?
Every once in a while, we get pretty competitive with each other, but no, not so much.
No, I mean, does he make you start at 35 off and he starts at 32?
No, we usually don't go head to head, but we have our, ball of spray tournament, and I'm still waiting to get matched up with him in the runoff because, it's definitely going to go down, and I'm excited.
There you go. That's a big old challenge to throw down. Another thing I've got to mention, because I mean, between you and your parents, you've become synonymous with a coffee brand that seems to be making the rounds in the Golden State and a little bit beyond. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Dutch Bros Coffee. We're a drive-through coffee company. My parents are franchisees here in Sacramento, and headquarters actually, they just went public, so we're gonna see them popping up everywhere. I think they have a few shops coming up in actually Orlando, as far as Orlando, pretty soon. So yeah, it's gonna be making its rounds.
Any chance of seeing one or two of those in Baton Rouge or New Orleans?
Oh, honestly, I don't know. No clue, but they definitely, like the warm states. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're there within a few years.
All right then. So, as we round off this podcast, I'll give you a chance to thank those other than your parents in just a moment. But going forwards, do you have any specific tangible goals that you want to attain when the skiing season starts all the way through to the end of the year 2022?
Yeah, I definitely want to run my first 39 in a record tournament. I've been doing it a lot in practice, which, practice is one thing, tournaments another. I've gotten four so many times, so definitely want to run 39. For trick, I don't know. I think I want to trick 10,000 or more, and then jump, just have another safe year and see how far I can go.
All right then. So those are some pretty good goals, some realistic goals, I would say.
Thank you.
Keeping your feet on the ground in that. even though you're piloting a light aircraft for a good portion of your time as well. So thank you very much there, Blaze Grubbs. Any shout outs, any thanks that you want to give to the good folks out there?
Yeah, shout out to my parents, of course, Ryan Nason, he's the one that skis with me all the time, as well as Ryan Hinkle. Who else? Camilo. Camilo's the man. Yeah, that's about it.
All right then, and obviously your skis as well, and another
Oh yeah, of
equipment
course.
sponsors, of
D3
course.
skis, Will Bush, D3 skis, of course. They have the best skis out there, in my opinion. And yeah, Terry Winner.
Excellent stuff. And that was Blaze Grubbs. I've been Tony Lightfoot. This has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.